When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the second episode of our Metalepsis series. This series, we had the pleasure of talking with Dylan Apelian, the new host of the One Shot podcast and designer of this game. In today's episode, we finish up our characters. Before we get to all of that, I do want to just say a quick apology that this episode is coming out late. I was sick for a few days, and Ryan had some super fun flooding in his basement, which is where his recording studio is. So that made things a little bit difficult, but I promise this episode is worth it. You can join us at the end in the calls to action where we thank our patrons and talk a little bit about the fact that this was our anniversary. With all that out of the way, please enjoy the show.
On the last episode of Character Creation Cast, Amelia and I were tasked to create a player character for an RPG and that character's player in a science fantasy TTRPG. Amelia is taking the role of the player and I am taking the role of the character while Dylan guides us through the process. We're picking up right where we left off last time. Enjoy.
Okay, so our character is up first. So you have some questions to answer on your own before we start asking questions that are going to kind of bring us together here. Okay. So very first, the protagonist, our character, the player character, what is the protagonist's name and their pronouns? That's the very first thing to decide.
Oh, that's
so we're a, in a,
why would you make that first?
I know it is everyone's least favorite question to answer, myself included. And I think,
yeah.
I think that's
but
also
we're playing
why.
Space Wizards, right?
We're playing Space Wizards. Yeah, it's everybody's least favorite thing to do, and yet it must happen.
All right.
Okay, so we're playing the fictional game of Space Wizards.
Space Wizards.
I don't know if that's an actual RPG or not.
Well, it's Starfinder, essentially. That's
effectively,
yeah,
right?
It's you're playing a Starfinder game, I've decided.
So Dylan's playing the GM of your Starfinder campaign, Amelia, and I am the character.
Okay.
Yes.
Wonderful. Okay.
Wait, so I'm the player.
You're the player. Okay. So that's the author effectively, okay. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you don't have to pick a sci-fi space name because I'm just a person.
Right.
Okay.
I could. But like,
I could, but I don't have to be as like worried about themes and thematic.
Yeah.
Themes.
I mean, you could be a sci-fi space wizard playing Starfinder as a sci-fi space wizard.
Or
yeah.
I could just
you could be a witch
book and randomly point at things. And now my name is Marcella.
Marcella. That's
Marcella.
Amazing.
Hell yeah. Love Marcella. Great, great space.
Thanks for
magic
the book,
name.
Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
So what is Marcella's primary goal in the story? Like, what is their personal quest? If they were to get a personal quest in this game, what do you think it would be?
That's a good question. So is Marcella the player name that you decided on, or is that the character name that we decided on for
we're starting with the character first.
So Amelia's jumping ahead.
Yeah, so I'm the player. You're the character.
You're the player. So Marcella is the player. So never mind. Yes. Stop it. Okay, protagonist. Ryan. Who's the protagonist name?
Okay, so Space Wizards, knowing Let's see, Amelia's inclinations towards certain characters, probably a little bit dark in theme. Let's see, what's a good
dark space wizard name.
Let's see. Like, normally I can come up with these names off the top of my head for myself.
Thinking
in somebody else's head a little bit is throwing me off slightly.
See what it's like inside my brain, Ryan?
I know, right? I'm like in this dark expanse, trying to find a name from the cloud of necromancy. I'm gonna randomize it, I think. Necromancer name.
This is also what I do most of the time. 9 times out of 10.
I do a lot of that, and I do a lot of baby name books. This one's called Baby Name Wizard, though, so technically they're all wizard names, probably.
Cerebra?
Interesting.
These are really strange. Shimura?
Sounds like a kind of shimmery.
Shimura the Experimentor. These are really crass in the hollow.
Well, maybe you should just go with like classic necromancer, and you should just go like Gideon.
Ooh. Did you make your character after a certain character that you enjoy from a novel series?
What?
No.
You're making the character, not me. You're in charge.
Okay. I do like Gideon, because I can't think of anything else. And that sounds like a very good space necromancer name for some reason.
Who could say why?
Who could say why?
We'll never know.
What she her pronouns, right?
Sure.
Okay. I almost want to put like a title afterwards, like the Devourer or
absolutely.
Yeah.
Give her a little.
A little verb.
Gideon the Star Crusher.
Ooh.
Gideon the Star Crusher is sounds so badass, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Kay. So Gideon the Star Crusher. Now, I feel like this next question is a little silly, but what is Gideon the Star Crusher's primary goal?
Crushing stars.
To open a tea shop?
Oh my God.
Something super mundane.
I love it.
Yeah.
To make the world's comfiest bathrobe.
Yeah. I think Gideon wants to get to a point that she doesn't need to worry about the cosmic stuff anymore. So the primary goal is to get to a point where she can just afford to have a cozy tea shop or something like that.
Gideon just wants to settle down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. Spectacular. Okay. What matters most to them now? Not like something that will matter to them or that they hope to have that will matter to them. What is the thing in their life presently that matters to them?
Gosh. It's got to be like, because currently they are fighting the fight. So I'm thinking it's their connection to the cosmos.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. Because they have like a magical connection to the cosmos
a cosmic necromantic connection, like a connection to the cosmic necromantic energy of the universe.
Yeah, like a star dies and you get fueled
that's where
by
your
it.
Power comes
from.
Oh, that's so sexy. Okay. Delicious. Okay, great. So then, all right, has Gideon ever felt, even briefly, like something besides themselves was causing or controlling their fate? And if they have had that feeling, what did they attribute it to?
I'm going to say yes all the time, Because of that connection to the cosmos. Like the strains of fate are like interwoven with this necromantic energy in Gideon's mind.
Oh, I'm so upset for Gideon when they find out that it's just some dweeb rolling dice.
Named Marcella.
So it's not the stars, babe. It's Marcella.
Oh, and she's eating pizza rolls.
It's Marcella and her Cheeto fingers are the one in control of your destiny. You poor thing. Oh, how sad.
I'll have you know that when I was in a gaming group, I made dinner and we had like feta stuffed flank steak and venison bourguignon. So maybe it's not Cheeto fingers.
Maybe
okay?
It's not Cheetos. I'm so sorry. I don't mean to. I don't mean to make those implications.
I had the best fed gaming group. Okay.
Yeah. I think Marcella might be a little bit more refined in her snackiness in this with the desire to have her star-destroying necromantic wizard settle down for a tea shop.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Now, my author, Marcella, we have her name. Mm-hmm. But Marcella, what is the name of this story? What's the name of the campaign?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so it's a sci-fi fantasy game.
Yep.
Trying to think like what other characters are in this game too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because obviously it's not just Gideon.
No, of course not.
No.
There's Gideon. There's I think there's gotta be a little guy character.
Yeah, obviously.
Like
a little dude.
Rax.
Yeah.
Rax, who's, you know, I think like a little like bipedal otter who is really good at making bombs and booby traps.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like something in my brain is like it's like planetary mausoleum or mausoleum of planets or something.
Planetary mausoleum goes so hard and is awesome as like both a campaign name and a band name. And I think it's also the name of this party.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Right. Like that's your party name.
Planetary mausoleum.
Planetary mausoleum is like so amazing. Okay. So now, why are they writing this story specifically? So why did Marcella make Gideon? Mm-hmm. Where does Gideon come from? What inspired the need to make this character?
I think Marcella is really tired of everyone in her group making stupid little guys and is like trying to have a more serious game. I don't think anybody else in the group knows we're having a serious game. But Marcella is trying.
I will have you know that Rax actually has a devastating backstory. It just has not come up yet.
Yes. Good.
It's going to be good when it hits, though.
Yeah. But until then, all we know is that he only eats space boogers. And
Amazing. Okay. So then... That's great. So she is the serious, you've created her to really get into the drama and get into some serious storytelling.
Yeah.
Has Marcella ever regretted a story decision that they made, whether it's in this one, this campaign, a previous campaign? Have you ever regretted a decision that you made with Gideon or with another character?
I mean, yes.
Yes.
Because right? Obviously.
What happened there?
If you say no.
well, no, it could. No is a perfectly valid answer.
Nothing.
Because if you've never regretted it, this will be a very new and jarring experience for you. You are going to be hit with regret for the very first time ever. And it's going to be a harsh one. So
I think
that's valid.
Marcella doesn't regret like story decisions because in the past she has let it go off of the rails from her particular, like Marcella's here to railroad this thing. And like Marcella knows what she wants.
Yeah.
Like what yeah. she wants this story to be. And like she regrets that in the past, other people have gotten her off track.
Yeah.
And what she wants is like, so this time she's like not going to budge. Like everybody else is going to do their thing. And Marcella's like, no, we're going to tell my story. And I can't wait yeah. for this to go so no. wrong. Mm-hmm.
So now we have to remember a very important thing about Metalepsis is that we're not going to tell this entire story. We're starting in the middle. We're starting mm-hmm. in the middle of this campaign, in the middle of this story, like as it's already going on. Mm-hmm. So the author, Marcella, I need you to tell Gideon what Gideon has already lost so far in this campaign.
Oh, let's see.
You
could be lost the only other person who understands how your magic works.
Mm.
Your mentor. So now you got to figure it out on your own.
Okay.
Amazing.
I like that.
Okay.
And it was super tragic and you watched the whole thing happen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There was nothing you could do.
You didn't see it coming. It was out of nowhere.
Yeah. You tried mm-hmm. to stop it even, but, I don't think you could do a damn thing about it. It was just actually kind of wild, all of the circumstances that led to you being so powerless in that moment. Mm-hmm. How cruel.
Meanwhile, at the table, dice is dice. Uh-huh. Nat ones, baby.
And Gideon, I want you to tell Marcella what you still have left.
Let's see. I mean, as goofy as they are, Gideon still has her companions.
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah. It's very funny, too, because we've set up this idea that, like, Marcella is kind of annoyed that these goofy characters are so goofy and that they're so unserious. But then zooming in to Gideon, who is so serious and so tragic, that if we were really in Gideon's shoes, those people would be the world. Mm-hmm. You know, those goofy, stupid idiots would be everything to you. And like Rax is the person that you share every meal with. You know, and like Marcella's mm-hmm. like, please get it together and care about the scene. Gideon's like, that's my brother. That's my guy.
I would do anything for that little bro.
I would do anything for that sea otter.
yes.
And that's the
They
beauty.
Hold hands all the time.
They hold hands. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they whisper to the stars at night together. I love them already, obviously, in a way that's concerning. So here is where the point is where we would start playing the game. We would decide from here, the author's job in scene one of each act is to set the stage of where we are in the story, what's happening in the actual game in this instance, and would play like a GM a little bit. So like in scene one, the author character is going to slip into a sort of GM role where you're going to set the scene, you're going to let the protagonist play around, but you're going to kind of story craft around them. And then in scene two, that stops. And the two of you, there is no GM, there is no player. You're just in a conversation together and there is no one in charge. So I think what I would like to ask you, because I think I would like to know, Marcella, what the first like scene would be that we would meet Gideon in.
Interesting. I mean, I'm debating because it's like, should we go like downtime scene or should we go like mid battle? Like,
ooh.
I do love like
Immediate a
good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think like we're in like mid battle. So we're in like, it's a space fantasy. So I feel like we're on like a planetary surface. Like this is not like in a ship or anything. Right. Yes.
We're in a planet uh-huh. in a solar system with a dying star.
Right. Yeah.
So we're about to power up, mm-hmm. basically.
Ooh, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think you've got to, like, Gideon's got to get, like, you don't just get that energy for free. You've got to, like, be somewhere where you can, like, absorb the energy from this dying star, right? Like, you've got to go siphon it, mm-hmm. which is, I think, dangerous, obviously. It's a dangerous business. There's a lot of risk involved, but the reward is obviously so mm-hmm. juicy. You're overpowered. Yeah, I mean, because
you're, like, in the proximity of a dying star, which is going to be, like, mm-hmm. like, you know, 3 seconds away from a black hole or whatever, probably. I think that's how space works. I don't know. It is
depending
now.
Depending on the star.
It is now.
Yep.
So, yeah, but you, like, have to go there because you have to be, you know, you feel called, and that's where your power comes from.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you've got your little goofy team around you.
I also think it protects, like, the area around you. So, like, we go and we protect these planets as part of this campaign, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's interesting. Yeah. So like you have this sort of cyclical relationship to it where you are directly benefiting off of the deaths of these stars, but as sort of like your service back, you make sure that the people in those planets escape. Live, survive somehow.
Right.
I like that. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So maybe the start to this one, this like entry scene, is like this is supposed to be business as usual, but for some reason this time is different. Like you're like, in order, I think there should be, so like the first, one of the first things is that, and this is you can draw from a deck of cards if you would like.
Ooh.
I do
have cards.
You do have cards? Because we could just be a little cheeky and find out what the horror is for the protagonist in the first scene.
Oh, yeah. I got my Sailor Moon deck.
Hell
here.
Yeah. All right,
give let's it a little shuffle. All right, just one card, right?
Just one card.
All right, let's see what our fate says. A four of diamonds.
Okay. The protagonist finds that the way forward could put themselves in mortal danger. So I think, and please feel free, Marcella, to jump in here, but I think that means that this time, in order to do what you have to do in order for Gideon to both siphon the energy from this star and save everyone, they may be confronted with the fact that they might die in the process.
I think that like the explosion or whatever is like more powerful than you expected it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I have a pitch.
Yeah.
Please pitch it.
This star was not supposed to die. This is part of a war. And the opposing faction that wanted this planet up. Destroyed.
It's, yeah, that's not right. Oh, God.
So there's an elite force of soldiers in our way to get to the ritual site.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Delicious.
And time's a ticking.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Love that. All right, so that's our dramatic setup. And then the last question I want to ask is for our protagonist, for Gideon. After this scene plays out, after this horror is realized and how bad things are, there's a moment where you get to break through. You can literally sort of see and hear and sense that there is someone making this happen. It's the first time it's ever been so clear to you.
The faint and you can waft of pizza roll smell.
Waft of pizza rolls.
Just the scent of marinara in the air.
You can hear the crappy soundscapes coming through the TV speakers. You know, you smell the scent of expo markers on a grid map. You know that there is someone controlling you, and you get to break through and appear to them. You get to choose to appear to them as a person that they know, an object that they love, or through their own reflection. What would pick?
I wanted to kind of use the cosmic, like, power that we get from this explosion to kind of tear through that space and confront the author of this existence.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
Maybe a reflection of sorts.
Love that.
Show up reflected in my red solo cup of Mountain Dew. Ooh, there you are. There's your face.
In the dew. Amazing.
Dear listeners, I want you to know that I mean all of this in the nicest way. I love you gamers.
Yeah, we love gamers.
But we have
here.
A reputation.
We're leaning into the tropes here. It's fine.
Gamers. I'm one of you, I promise.
Okay. So I need someone. All right. So I need your help, both of you. I need in the Baja Blast.
Yep. Of course.
Yeah, obviously. What does Marcella's... So Marcella, you get to tell me what your reflection normally looks like. And then Gideon gets to tell me the distorted, slightly changed version that you see instead. So first we need to know what Marcella should be seeing as she looks down into her Mountain Dew.
So Marcella is usually like, it's pretty casual. So it's like hoodie, you know, zipped up. And then the strings are like constantly different lengths because she just like plays with them all the time. Hair is kind of like in a messy bun that she, again, is constantly taking up and down as like a fidget thing. So I think at this point, because this is going to be based on me, her hair is like up in a bun, but it's like halfway about to fall down because it's not done very well. And yeah, no makeup or anything, just like this weird hoodie. And so she's just kind of like leaning over. She's going to like about to take a drink of her Baja Blast, you know, not expecting to see anything special.
Okay. Now, what about this image is wrong, Gideon? How do you appear?
The hints of the Super Saiyan effect from Dragon Ball Z is underneath the hoodie. like the hair looks a little bit more animate and there's a faint glow when there shouldn't be.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Amazing. And that is it. Those are all of the elements of creation, really, the character creation. This is where we would jump in and start telling our story and playing our game together. But I mean, I love Gideon and Marcella, actually.
It's so good. I love what we have here. I love it. Yes, good.
Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amazing.
This was
delicious.
I'm like trying to have like, this is a podcast, so I should be able to do, you know, cohesive sentences and things.
But, you're doing great.
Yeah.
You're good. Amazing.
Great. Yes. Yep. Game good.
Game good.
Game good.
Game good.
Oh my goodness. Oh. Okay. So now that we love these characters, we have to pack them up into a little box and never play them. And that makes me horribly sad.
You are allowed to play them.
Denied.
No, we have literally never done that.
Okay, got it. Understood. Yep. Okay.
Never officially. We have converted characters once from one system to another one.
And then
to a different system that actually works out well. And we played that for a stream. And that was fun.
Yeah, but we've never actually played
one of these days, maybe.
Almost 6 years now, and we've never done it.
Nope. It is our sad, sad fate.
Yeah.
I'm so sad for us all.
But don't worry. Our next section, we do have a fanfic section. Where
I was
going
to say, I will just have to write the fanfiction myself.
We will
myself,
pretend
and that's
that
fine.
We've done this. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this Metalepsis character creation episode, Dylan. This was fantastic.
You are so welcome.
I love so this. Whatever it is.
Amazing.
Do you want to remind everyone where they can find you online?
Oh my gosh, I would love to. Yes, please. SuperDillin, Super Dillin is where you can find me everywhere on the internet. Please listen to The Atomless, listen to One Shot, and go find me on Itch and buy and play my games. I promise that they are fun.
So they far, are, so good.
Yep, exactly. Well, thank you again, Dillin, and thank you to everybody for listening. Please join us on the next episode for our discussion block.
Call to action.
Yeah, like that. It's just me right now. So normally I have Ryan here with me and we do some fun banter and talk about this episode. I will say I had a great time doing this. I think we came up with really cool characters. And I'm honestly most excited for all of you to come back next week for our discussion episode because we really got into some interesting and deep discussion about the relationship between creating things and the things you create. Before I let you go for the day, though, here are our calls to action as usual. April is our anniversary month. We have been making this podcast officially for 6 years now, which is exciting. Life continues to be a little bit rough for the two of us, obviously, as you can tell by the fact that it's just me here, and we've had a couple weeks where it's just Ryan. Right now, unfortunately, we are barely breaking even on our Patreon, so if you wanted to help us out, that would be the best way to do so. You can head over to our Patreon at patreon.com/charactercreationcast. You can sign up for any of our basic tiers as a free trial and check out the non-physical rewards for 7 days for free. Each level has tons of great rewards associated with it. You can join our Sticker of the Club month for $10. You can get some custom dice and a personalized thank you note from me, as well as chit-chat episodes every week. Though I guess not the last couple weeks because we've been, you know, sick and stuff. Generally every week, we do them for the dollar and up levels, and along with so many other fantastic perks. We really want to thank everybody who's been a patron, and you know, we get to read your names out on the show, so that's another cool reason to back us. Thank you to Lieutenant and DJG, aka Tigranosaurus. We are so glad to have you backing us. Eric Bontz and Daryl Holiday II. You shouldn't have, but we're really glad you did. Thanks to Shadim Cabal and the Shyest Barbarian. We are really happy to have you both with us. Benjamin Sweeney and Larkin McGinnis, thank you for your support. Rob Fletcher and Kevin Brown, we are also happy to have you here with us. Thank you for supporting us. Tentacle Duck and Cole McCallum, thanks for making all of this possible. Thank you, John Adamus and Winona's wildly wonderful water skiing wombats, wowing watchers with whimsical washboard warbling. We couldn't do this without you, truly. Carlos Salazar and Eric S., we can't thank you enough, but we will continue making the attempt. Ian Popmeyer and Sorgoth, you rock, thank you. Liam G. and Brian Colm, thank you for believing in us. Garden GM and Tanglefoot, many thanks to both of you. Blue Kryptonite and Danny, thank you for your continued support. Nicole Trainer and Liam Murray, thanks. Kenning and Brian Kurtz, we appreciate your support so much. Thank you. Mark E. Fair and Drew Owen, thank you both so much. Thank you also to all of our future patrons. Your support is helping us keep the lights on. We use it to pay for our website, to pay for storage for all of our files, to pay for some editing software for Ryan, the subscription to the site that we use for our recording, all of that kind of stuff. So it really does go right back into the show. Right now, we are currently barely breaking even, and we could really use your help. So if you want to help us out at all, it's the best way to do it. It'll allow us to even do more things in the future. We have so many great ideas for stuff that we want to do, but right now we can't really make that happen. But, you know, you could maybe help
you could have more character creation cast, honestly. If you want to support us, the next best way, if you don't have the money to do it, is to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, Podcast Addict, or even Facebook. We will read your review right here and thank you personally the episode after we get the review, because we don't have any right now, so you'll be on the top of the pile. I want to thank everybody so much for listening to the show over the last 6 years, for helping us out on the Patreon, for joining us on our Discord to talk about the show, for telling all of your friends about the show, all of those amazing things. I totaled up a lot of the numbers last week. So as of the end of March, when I totaled up all of the numbers for our show, we had made 278 episodes. Our total time of episodes was 14 days, 16 hours and 8 minutes, and we had covered 103 games. It's been so exciting to make this show, and we really couldn't do it without all of you, not only financially supporting us and leaving reviews, but obviously listening to the show, because what is a podcast without listeners? So thank you all so much, and here's to more years in the future. That's all I have for today's episode. You can join us next week for the discussion portion of the series for Metalepsis. It's a great look at the mechanics of the game and a lot about the meta narrative part of it. And until then, take care, stay safe, drink some water. Don't let your basement flood, and keep making those amazing people. We'll see you next time.
Character Creation Cast is a production of the One Shot Podcast Network and can be found online at www.charactercreationcast.com. Head to the website to get more information on our hosts, this show, and even our press kit. Character Creation Cast can also be found on Twitter and Blue Sky at CreationCast, or on our Discord server at discord.charactercreationcast.com. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Bolter, and I can be found on Twitter and Blue Sky at Lord Neptune, or online at LordNeptune.com. Our other host, Amelia Antrim, can be found on Twitter and Blue Sky at Ginger Reckoning. Music for this episode is used with a Creative Commons license or with permission from the podcast they originated from. Further information can be found within the show notes. Our main theme music is Hero Remix by Steve Combs and is used with a Creative Commons license. This podcast is owned by us under Creative Commons. This episode was edited by Ryan Bolter. Further information for the game systems used and today's guests can also be found in the show notes. If you'd like to support our show, find us on Patreon. Get access to bonus episodes, exclusive merch, and much more at patreon.com/charactercreationcast. Thanks for joining us. And remember, we find that the best part of any role-playing game is character creation. So go out there and create some amazing people. We'll see you next time.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjax role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.